this, who develop the most innovative and unique ideas, are the ones who free themselves from structure and allow their minds to wander, rather than focus on various tasks at hand. Einstein called this initiating the sacred intuitive mind, as opposed to the rational mind, which he sees as its servant. 6. You're more likely to actually achieve what you set out to do if you work on it intermittently, and you'll maintain a healthier, happier lifestyle in the process. Keeping your mind in a consistent state of focus leads to life-shortening and quality-depleting stress. And while you're in the process of neglecting the things that also matter, your health, your family, your state of mind, you're more likely to reach your saturation point and simply give up on what you were devoting all of your time and energy to in the first place. 7. It helps you become more mindful, more aware of the present moment. Cultivating mindfulness aids in reducing general stress, improving memory, decreasing emotional reactivity, more relationship satisfaction, cognitive flexibility, empathy, compassion, general decrease of anxiety and depression / increase of overall quality of life, and on and on. 8. It's not taking a break or time away from what you're actually supposed to be doing. It's what human beings are designed for. Tom Kreider argues, idleness is not just a vacation, an indulgence, or a vice. It is as indispensable to the brain as vitamin D is to the body, and deprived of it, we suffer a mental affliction as disfiguring as rickets. The space and quiet that idleness provides is a necessary condition for standing back from life and seeing it whole, for making unexpected connections and waiting for the wild summer lightning strikes of inspiration. It is, paradoxically, necessary to getting any work done. 55. Why you're struggling in your relationships, based on your attachment style. It's common knowledge that most of our beliefs about the world are shaped in childhood, and most issues that people experience as adults have something to do with what was experienced in the earliest phases of life. Never is this more true than with romantic relationships. They are, after all, extensions of the bonds we build and things we come to understand about men, women, and how they interact through our parents. Many people spend their lives recreating their first familiar relationships, often to their own detriment. Here, the four types of attachment styles children develop, and how understanding your own can help you stop struggling so much in your relationships now. Secure. If you are someone who attaches securely, one or both of your parents were completely attuned to your needs during early childhood. You learned to trust people and objectively struggle the least with relationships, as you don't over-respond to the idea being rejected or dismissed. You just don't fear it as much. However, if you are struggling in your relationships, it's likely because of your complacency. You're willing to stay in the wrong relationships for too long because they're good enough. But at the same time, you're more hesitant to commit to the right relationships when they come along because there's more risk involved. You are comfortable and prefer to stay that way, possibly at the detriment of your heart's true desires. What you need to do is open up to the reality that love is scary, especially the kind of love that's worthwhile. Take your time, but don't choose the easy way out. Avoidant. If you are someone with avoidant attachment, you are likely the child of parents who are emotionally unavailable and insensitive to your genuine needs. You became a little adult at a young age, avoided and still avoid, expressing true pain or need for help, especially to parents / caretakers, and highly value your independence, almost to a fault. You are self-contained and most comfortable alone. Your parents likely punished you for feeling anything other than happy, or at least shamed you for crying or expressing your feelings in any way that wasn't convenient for them. This likely has led to intimacy issues, as you struggle to be your whole self around someone else. If you're struggling in your relationships, it's because you've grown to associate imperfections with dismissal. You think that opening up completely and genuinely will inevitably lead to you being unloved or rejected, because you learned at a young age that expressing genuine feelings could be dangerous. You're probably overly accepting of other people's flaws, but absolutely cannot tolerate any of your own. What you need to do is practice opening up to other people in a genuine way. Start with friends, maybe, and see that you won't be disowned for being who you are. Once you develop a more trusting attitude with others, it will become easier and easier to be intimate. Anxious. If you've developed an anxious attachment, it's because your parents were inconsistently attuned to your needs. At times you were nurtured and loved, but at others, they were overly intrusive and insensitive. You likely struggle with indecisiveness and fear of the unknown, as you never know what kind of treatment to expect from people. You have a hard time trusting others, but at the same time are easily overly attached and clingy, even just to the idea of a person. This is because you are afraid of anything you haven't grown to know as safe and want to hang on to people rather than face your fear of the unknown. If you're struggling in your relationships, it's because you're spending too much time mind-reading, assuming, projecting, predicting, and anticipating outcomes in an effort to shield yourself from pain, or because you refuse to let go out of fear that you'll never find anybody else. Either way, you're more in your head than in your heart, and you're letting your life be guided by what you're trying to avoid, as opposed to what you're trying to achieve. Being better in your relationships will likely be the product of learning that the anxiety and urgency you feel is in your head. You need to work on refocusing your thoughts, differentiating reality from your fears, and surrounding yourself with trustworthy, caring people. Disorganized. If you formed a disorganized attachment in childhood, it is because your parents or caretakers were abusive, frightening, or even life-threatening. You wanted to escape. Yet your livelihood depended on the very people who were hurting you most. You may not have been fully able to escape until adulthood. Your attachment figure was your main source of distress, and to survive, you were forced to begin disassociating from yourself. If you're struggling in your relationships, it's because you haven't learned to listen to your emotional navigation system yet. You aren't choosing partners you genuinely care about, or are ignoring your instincts because you grew up being forced not to trust yourself. Sure, you were in pain, but if you wanted to survive, you had to ignore that pain and convince yourself everything was all right. What you need to do is some very serious mental/emotional work that likely involves recalling your past trauma and rewriting your narrative of what happened in your life. You will need to reassociate with your inner guidance system and learn to trust it more than you do your thoughts or ideas. 56. 16 ways suppressed emotions are appearing in your life. Many people will agree that suppression is the least effective emotional regulation strategy available, and yet it's the most common go-to coping technique. In a sense, emotional suppression is simply just ignoring your feelings, or invalidating them by believing they're wrong. This is dangerous because your emotions are responses that are designed to keep you alive and well. This problem is created, of course, from basic emotional intelligence not being common knowledge. Rather than face the scary unknown, we just avoid it. In 1988, Daniel Wenger conducted a groundbreaking study that showed just how insidious emotional suppression can be. The results of his research were the ability to identify the rebound effect of thought suppression. Essentially, the group in the study that was instructed to push away thoughts of a white bear had more thoughts about the white bear than the other group, which was allowed to think about anything, including a white bear. Ever heard the phrase, "What we resist persists"? Long story short, you can't avoid your emotions. You can't deny them, invalidate them, or suppress them. You can only try to ignore them, but for reasons more powerful than your conscious mind can grasp, they will make themselves known in many other ways. Here are a few ways suppressed emotions resurface in life / signs you may be experiencing this too. 1. Your self-image is polarized. You either think you're the greatest person on earth or worthless piece of garbage with little in between. 2. You become anxious when anticipating social situations, as you feel you cannot just show up as you are, so you will have to perform or be subject to judgment from whoever is there. 3. You catastrophize. One bad remark from a colleague is cause for an existential breakdown about your self-worth. One argument with a partner is cause to rethink the whole relationship, and so on. 4. You exist in comparison to others. You feel you are only as attractive as you are more attractive than someone else, or the most attractive person in the room, and so on. 5. You cannot tolerate being wrong, as you associate making a mistake with being invalidated as a person. 6. You have random, almost completely unprecedented bursts of anger over very small, unimportant things. 7. You complain constantly, about things that don't even really warrant complaint. It's a subconscious desire for other people to see and acknowledge your pain. 8. You're indecisive. You don't trust that your thoughts or opinions or choices will be good or right the first time, so you overthink. 9. You procrastinate, which is just another way to say you are fairly regularly in a state of dis-ease with yourself. You can't simply allow flow, which is a product of suppression. 10. You'd rather feel superior to other people than connected to them. 11. When someone you know is successful, your immediate response is to pick out their faults rather than express admiration or acknowledgement. 12. Your relationships end for similar reasons. You feel anxiety over similar things, and even though you assume time will diminish these feelings or responses, the patterns persist. 13. You're resentful of whomever you think is responsible for your pain, or your lack of success, or your inability to choose. 14. You feel as though you can't really open your heart to someone. 15. You suffer a spotlight complex, in which you feel that everyone is watching you and is invested in how your life turns out. They aren't. They're not. 16. You're afraid to move on, even though you want to. You may be ready to move on mentally, but until you completely process the accompanying feelings, you'll remain exactly where you are. 57. 50 people on the most liberating thought they've ever had. Your life unfolds in a succession of revelations. It's when you set down the book and stare ahead and repeat the sentence in your mind again and again. Apply it to every little thing you twist to make applicable. You answer questions you didn't know you were asking. Tie ends you left off years ago. The key to a completely liberating thought is that it's self-evident. It's proven itself in your experience. It doesn't have to solve the problem. It has to help you understand why you had it in the first place. Every conscious thought you have either circles you back into the mental cycle you're in, or it liberates you from it. Some cycles are healthy, some are not. Some you want to maintain, some you don't. Some you want to change, and you know you want to change them. Some you want to change, and you don't know you want to change them. Some you need to change, and you don't know how. I think your life improves in direct proportion to how often you are put in situations in which you have no choice but to seek a greater truth. That is something I think. People who are comfortable don't have to keep reading or searching or seeking. They don't grow because they don't have to. A sad but important thing to know about humans is that they don't change until not changing is a less comfortable option. I know that my success has been directly proportionate to my suffering. That is something I know. That is the experience to which I have arrived at the aforementioned theory. At this point, the most liberating thought I have ever had is that I would not change a thing. Everything in my life served a purpose. The darkest and shittiest and terrible and most self-destructive among them. They all brought me here. I was never crazy. I was a product of my circumstances. That one took a long time to completely acknowledge. But it's true. I responded and reacted and behaved the way any normal, healthy, functioning person would and should. I wasn't supposed to be happy. Had I responded well or complacently, I wouldn't have ended up where I was headed. I would have lived the life other people imposed on me. I would have actually constituted for being mentally ill. It was crucial that I didn't have it together or consistently feel good. I grew out of my suffering by being able to perceive what was wrong and uncomfortable, really without knowing any differently. How incredible is that? That we can know when something is wrong, even if we aren't entirely sure what the opposite would be. There's not a good thing in the world that was not built of 1,000 tiny revolutions, and people are no exception. I wanted to compile a series of not only the most liberating thoughts, the revelations that have changed and shaped and created me, but also other people's. Here, 49 strangers shared theirs, one is mine, in hopes that maybe some of them can be yours as well. 1. I get to choose what I think about. 2. I don't owe anybody an apology for disagreeing with them. 3. You can have everything you want, just not at the same time. And if you think that's unfortunate, consider that if you had everything at once, you wouldn't really experience or enjoy it completely. 4. You can choose your family. You can choose your religion. You can choose who you are every day, and it doesn't have to be the same person you were yesterday. You do not have to become only what other people are comfortable with or can understand. 5. My life does not define me. I define my life. This moment is not my life. This is a moment in my life. 6. Everything I perceive is a projection of who I am. If I want to change my life, I change myself. 7. I don't have to accept anything. I don't have to change everything. 8. Freedom is a state of mind. 9. There is nothing you can have forever, but there are many things you'll miss experiencing if you're too busy trying to keep them rather than love them while you have them. 10. There are so many kinds of love worth pursuing other than romantic love. There are so many experiences to have other than just happiness. Anything other than ideal is not failure. It's life. It's what we're made for and meant for. 11. I am a person of value. I deserve happiness. I deserve to be kind to myself. I deserve love. 12. I will get over what I am struggling with in the very same way I got over the other things I thought I never could. That's a most comforting thought, in my opinion. comparing what you're going through to what you've been through, and knowing you have what it takes to get through it. 13. You don't remember years, you remember moments. 14. I'm not supposed to be anything other than what I am. 15. Nothing is permanent, not even the worst feelings. 16. I can change my experience just by deciding to see things differently. I may not be in control of what happens around and toward me, but I am always in control of how I see it, how I respond, and how I react. At the end of the day, that is all I am responsible for. 17. Nobody cries at a funeral because the world will be missing out on another pretty face. They cry because the world is missing another heart, another soul, another person. Don't wait until it's too late to focus on what will actually matter, creating something that lasts far beyond your body. 18. People do not love you based on a flowchart on which they compare you to other people. People who are the prettiest and thinnest and best off financially are not the most loved. They do not live the best lives. I have to remind myself that every time I start worrying more about what I look like than what I am. 19. The moment is all that exists. The cliche that tells you to live in it is overdone, but there's no other option, really. It's whether or not you're paying attention that's the problem. 20. The way to get through anything is to embrace the fact that whatever comes, comes with reason. Whatever stays, stays with reason. Whatever hurts, hurts with reason. Ignoring or fighting the effect will not fix the cause. 21. What you focus on expands. 22. This too shall pass. 23. I've always been compelled to act when I was meant to. I never had to think too hard about the things that were meant to be. I only had to be open to them. 24. What I went through made me who I am. What I'm going through will make me what I will be. What I choose to put my energy toward now will create that person. I decide. My circumstances don't. 25. Never forget that you are not in the world. The world is in you. When anything happens to you, take the experience inward. Creation is set up to bring you constant hints and clues about your role as co-creator. Your soul is metabolizing experience as surely as your body is metabolizing food. This is a quote from Deepak Chopra. 26. There is always a way, even when it least feels like it. There is always a way. There are different jobs, new ideas, apartments opening up across the country, flights leaving in the next hour to the places I've always wanted to go. There is a way to find the money, get the gig, find the love. There is always a way. I am never stuck. I am only in the mindset that I am. 27. There is no grand moment in life. You don't wake up and say, "Aha, I've made it." Happiness is all in details. The joy is all in the journey. Always has been, always will be. 28. The purpose of being here is growth. Growth means being able to experience and see more because you are aware of it. The purpose of being here, then, is expanding awareness. 29. The worst things to happen to me were the things that had to teach me what nothing else could, to prepare me for things so wonderful I couldn't imagine them, let alone know I had to get ready for them. 30. You haven't failed until you've stopped trying. 31. I do not have to adopt other people's problems as my own to help them. 32. You do not have to be loved by everybody to be worthy of love. 33. The present is the only time. If you don't start living in it, you don't really live at all. 34. You teach people how to treat you. You get in life what you have the courage to ask for. 35. My only regret in my entire life is just that I didn't enjoy it more. 36. The things I meant to have will simply come to me. All I am responsible for is making sure I'm ready. 37. Don't take anything too seriously. Nobody gets out alive anyway. 38. I cannot change those around me. Real change happens one by one, each person doing the only thing they can, seeing where they can stand to improve as opposed to pointing fingers at the injustices they see in others. 39. Wisdom is knowing that you don't and will never really know anything. We used to believe the earth was flat. A discovery changed that. You don't know that we won't discover we're all robots in some matrix simulation. Or, I don't know, the point is, wisdom is just being, not making sense of. 40. I once bought a train ticket for myself and was on a trip that I completely funded and realized that I can support myself and I don't have to answer or please anybody else. I work hard so I can live the way I want. 41. I am infinite. People always say, what would you do if you could live forever? Well, I'm here to say, if you believe your soul is eternal, you can. What are you doing with it now? 42. Even if you abandon faith, hope, and love, they don't leave you. 43. I am made of love and light. That is who I essentially am. Everything else is simply a disconnect. I am not one thing that has to be transformed into another. I am love and light, and I choose whether or not I remember that, or I decide to be blocked out of fear. 44. When you step into a library, all the knowledge in the world is before you. When you wake up each day, all the possibility in the world is too. You choose whether or not you just see books. You choose whether or not you just see another day. 45. I am always one choice away from changing everything. 46. If I choose not to be upset, not to spend time feeling a certain way, then I do not feel upset. If I do not feel upset, then I have not been harmed. Marcus Aurelius said something similar, but I prefer it in my own words. 47. There is immeasurable joy in the small things, in a great book, fresh vegetables, a warm bed, the arms of someone you love. These things in our twisted world are rarely valued, but in the end, they're probably the most joy we're going to have. 48. We take our lives way too seriously. In a few hundred years, most people will be completely forgotten about. That's not depressing. That is liberating. Do what you can and make it hella good. Give love and do what you most genuinely want to. It won't matter anyway, so make it matter now. 49. I do not have to be what other people see me as. I do not have to assume they know best. 50. You're going to be okay. Not because I said so, but because okay is where we all end up, even if we fuck up entirely along the way. This is a Cheryl Strayed quote. 58. You're only in your 20s. It's not too late to completely start over. I know it seems like your 20s are designed for the build, a steady progression of acquiring better and more. I know it seems like the most important thing in the world is to build a picture of mind's eye comforts, the ways you have it together, the things the world would look at and approve of, the things you can think about to soothe yourself out of a panic attack. But your 20s are about unlearning, too. Stripping away lukewarm loves and work you don't thrive doing, and friends you've outgrown, and limiting ideas you've been leaning on to guide you. You're making room for your actual life to begin. Most people stumble in their 20s because they've spent their lives anticipating them. They've lived for this point, when happiness can ensue. But the most unhappy people are often the ones with the pretty nice apartments and the decent amount of friends and the good enough job in fields they're at least somewhat interested in, because they've spent their lives building ideas rather than learning how to feel. Your 20s are about undoing as much as they are anything else, choosing new, deciding otherwise, shedding layers that have muddied your idea of who you think you are. This is the kind of scary magic you want, the kind that leads you into the beautiful unknown. You are becoming the person you are going to be for the rest of your life. How genuinely are you going to live? How afraid are you going to be? For how many more years are you going to let your demons conquer you? You are only in your 20s. It is not too late to start over. In fact, I hope you start over all the time. Not by burning bridges or ditching town or closing yourself to what you have, but by no longer fearing what you don't. I hope you spend your free afternoons working on the skills you need to have the job you want someday. I hope you accept that you're not supposed to look the way you did in high school or really want the same things. I hope you ask yourself, what do I want now? Every time it occurs to you to do so. I hope you learn that there is only one way to guide your life, and it is by consistently focusing on the next right step. Genuinely unhappy people are never upset by their circumstances. They are upset because they have externalized their power. They put their faith in finding the right person as opposed to being able to attract and choose the right person. They put their faith in finding the right job, in the right economy, as opposed to honing their skills to the point that a company would be remiss to overlook them. If you want to genuinely start over, clear the slate of everything you ever thought about how to get your life together. Don't predict, project, mind read, assume. Don't imagine a better elevator speech. Don't only think of what it makes sense to do. Think of what it feels right to do. Not what your impulses say, not what your laziness says, not what your fear says. Those things have probably gotten you where you are, but a layer beneath them is a more resolute voice, and it will tell you which way to go. You only have to get quiet, listen, and act. Learn to live your life more than you're inclined to sit around wondering about it. You can't reflect your way into a new existence, but you can think yourself into paralysis. If you know at your core that you must start over, it's not a matter of whether or not you will. It's whether you'll do it later, or whether you'll do it now. 59. 17 ideas you're keeping about your life that are only holding you back. 1. If you work hard enough, success is a guarantee. Most people are rarely successful in the way they first set out to be. Rather than work toward an end goal, work toward liking the process of getting there. Whether success is a product of chance or fate, all you can control is how much work you put in, not exactly what comes out. 2. Wanting something badly enough qualifies you to have it. Nobody ever got anything from just wanting it badly enough. You have to want it badly enough to sacrifice and to work hard, become qualified, keep your head up through tons of rejection and doubt, and then rinse/repeat for as long as it takes. 3. You'll be the exception to everything, so you don't have to wear sunscreen or save money or worry about your retirement plan or treat people respectfully, because your circumstances are just different than everyone else's. 4. You're a celebrity in your own mind. Everyone is watching you and judging your choices. The spotlight complex is undoubtedly linked to social media, but regardless, nobody is thinking about you the way you are thinking about you, nor nearly as much. Nobody cares if you wear an unflattering shirt out to the pharmacy. Nobody really cares what you do with your life. So stop making choices as though they do. 5. If you're doing something right, results will be instantaneous. If you're doing something right, the results will take a very long time to build up and produce an outcome you're happy with. 6. Busyness is a good thing. Being busy is what happens when people are ill-equipped to manage their stress. People who actually have a lot to do focus on getting it done simply because they don't have another choice. 7. There's a right time to create, or get married, or have a child, or start pursuing the life you feel called to. If you're looking for an excuse as to why it's not the right time, you'll always find one. 8. Adulthood is hard. There are lots of things that are challenging and heartbreaking and trying in life, but learning how to perform basic functions is not one of them. 9. Your purpose is something existentially profound. Your purpose is just to be here and to do whatever job you find yourself doing. You don't have to be consciously changing the world to fulfill it. 10. Everybody can have a job they love if they work hard enough. Everybody can find a way to enjoy their job, regardless of the inevitable challenges that come with any job. But nobody is entitled to do work that happens to fit precisely within their realm of interest and comfort. 11. You're not responsible for that which you do unintentionally. Accidentally hurting someone's feelings doesn't really hurt them. Time you don't realize wasting isn't wasted. Money spent on necessities isn't money spent. Essentially, if you aren't conscious of the repercussions of something, they don't count. 12. Your life partner is responsible for making you feel one very specific way, and you use that singular feeling to determine whether or not your relationship is good or worthwhile. 13. To accept something, you must be happy about it, or at least okay with it. You can accept your circumstances, acknowledge they are real, while still disliking them strongly. You don't have to like everything, but if you want to preserve your sanity, you have to accept whatever comes into your life before you can change it. 14. People are ruminating on the embarrassing stuff you did 5 years ago. They're busy ruminating on their own stuff the same way you are. Are you thinking about things other people did over the years to any significant degree? It's unlikely. 15. You must be right to be a valid, intelligent human being. Really, the most intelligent people are more open to being wrong than anyone. That's how they learn. But regardless, you do not need to be consistently right or exceedingly smart or stunningly beautiful or anything else to be worthwhile and lovable. 16. You are your struggles. You say, "I am an anxious person," rather than, "I sometimes feel anxiety." You identify with your problems, which is likely a huge reason why you can't overcome them. 17. You can only be as happy as your circumstances allow. You will only be as happy as you choose to focus on what's positive, reconcile and problem solve what's negative, build the relationships that matter, validate yourself, and develop your mindset. You cannot choose a feeling, but you can always choose what you think about. Rejecting the idea that you can do so is to submit and doom yourself to a life in which you are never truly happy at all. 60. How to become the kind of person who deserves the life you want. We're conditioned to believe that there is only so much happiness to go around. Beginning at a young age, we're almost pitted against one another in the race for superiority. That mindset still seeps into our daily interactions and is certainly a pillar of the me-centric media culture we've created. We're taught that there are winners, there are losers. There are people who make it, there are people who don't, and you need to be someone who does. There are only so many positions, so many success stories, so many opportunities to make the life you want. You need to choose from the human catalog of physical success and fight for a limited edition lifestyle. We settle ourselves into the idea that happiness and success are things that somebody else bestows upon us. Bosses give jobs. Lovers commit to forever. No wonder we constantly feel out of control. No wonder we suffer so much at the hand of what we assumed we wanted. Wanting is the ugliest thing you can do. It keeps your experience in a state of not having. It keeps good things at a distance. You get what you most want when you don't want it anymore. When you shift your mindset and your experience to that of already having, you naturally create and attract things that align with your idea of yourself. Acceptance is the root of abundance. The things you genuinely want rarely have to be thought out. Putting labels and words and ideas to them is creating an image of something that's pure and essentially yourself. The way we get the most tripped up is when our ideas don't evolve as our beings do, and we create what we want while still being attached to an old idea. This is how you let go of those ideas. These are the things nobody will teach you about doing so. These are the ways you carry yourself out of the life somebody else constructed for you, how you stop fighting and tearing apart old ideas and start creating new ones. These are the things you need to know to become the person who deserves the life you most genuinely want, not the life that somebody else wants for you. There are ways to pay the rent. There is no way to make somebody love you if they don't. Creating the moment-to-moment, day-to-day life you want with the people you want happens one job and month of rent and load of laundry and sink of dishes and electric bill at a time. Adults don't do these things just to do them. These things are freedom. They are holding your own roof above your head. They are reducing yourself to the single notion that nothing matters more than your peace of mind. Leave if you have to leave. There is rarely an excuse to remain with people who don't love or accept you. There are ways to survive. There are second jobs and extra hours and rooms that kind people are willing to rent or share. But these things are reserved for the people who place their mental well-being over immediate convenience. These are reserved for the people who deserve them, and who know they deserve a space or room or home or apartment in which they decide what is and is not acceptable for their lives. You are not supposed to always be happy, uncertain, and stable. If you were, it wouldn't be such a struggle. Transcending the pain of humanness is one thing and one thing only. Allowing yourself to be it. The struggle is trying to escape that which is inevitable. Surrendering to it is not accepting defeat. It's being honest. It's being real and messy and gorgeous and tortured and darkly nuanced and glimmeringly hopeful. That's what we're meant to be. The only thing we really want to transcend is the inability to be what we are, as we are it. There is just as much value in the negative space. Not every second of your life has to be filled. A packed agenda is not success. Living to work as opposed to working to live is not a quality of life. Things are not split into times in which you're doing something that other people can quantify, and times you're doing nothing. It's all important. Your deepest revelations happen in silent moments with yourself. Being crowded with people and appointments and ideas and creative outpourings wouldn't be so profound and stunning if there weren't also moments of aloneness and nothingness and mental drought. The context of things matters just as much as they do. The focal point of a piece of art wouldn't exist without the negative space to frame it. Unfortunately, nothing and nobody can hand you your happiness. Fortunately, nothing and nobody can take it away. You'd want to write that one off as the oldest mind trick in the book, and yet... But still, we're still seeking, even though we know better. We're fighting our nature to grow and expand and enlighten and seek and create in place of the idea that is just meant to come to us. It's as though we apply the ideas of wanting and trying in completely wrong directions. Time is not linear in the way we perceive it. Everything is happening at once. You call into your experience that which you need and that which you are. You're never with and you're never without. You'll never receive and you'll never lose. You always were. You always are. That knowing is a foundation on which the real magic occurs. Happy is boring. Beautiful is boring. People aren't interested or attracted to just happy and beautiful. They're interested in people who are interested in things, who are different looking, who have stories and ideas and mindsets that mirror and complement their own. Nobody wants a person who gets mad if they convolutedly believe somebody insinuated that they're fat. They want a person who says, "Fat is not a thing you are. It is a thing you have. And even if that weren't the case, even if I were fat, who gives a fuck?" Love is more than pretending you look and behave and live a certain way. The universe whispers until it screams. Your body whispers until it screams. Bad feelings are not meant to be staved off. They are not meant to be inconveniencing. They are you, or something greater than you, telling yourself something is not right. Your gut voice will never go ignored. It will project out and eventually turn into big, loud external voices that demand you pay attention. Learn to listen while it's little. The most hilariously ironic thing of life is that you have the most success doing what feels right. Following our genuine happiness, our internal peace, is our only real responsibility. The people who love what they do are always, always more successful than the people who work hard or claim to. There's an X factor you can't mimic when you do something you're genuinely passionate about. You tap into an otherwise untouchable energy. Your identity does not have to be cohesive. Your story doesn't have to flow. You don't have to be neatly packaged in a way that other people understand. You have to stop living for your synopsis, the summary we try to piece together in our minds when we imagine people explaining us or evaluating who we are. It doesn't have to make sense. You're allowed to be great at a lot of things that don't necessarily relate to one another. You're not limited to just one purpose, one talent, one love. You can have a variety of jobs, each of them meaningful at the time you have them. You can be good at a lot of things without lacking in others. You do not have to be a novel. You can be a book of stories. You don't have to merge your coexisting truths and dull your shine just so it makes sense to a small-minded person who wants you to fit into a narrow understanding of what they're comfortable with. You do not have to only be what other people are comfortable with. You often do not know what's best for your life. Predicting your future does not make it more guaranteed to happen. It just closes you off. It gets you attached to an idea that you only want to be reality because you're attached to it. The content of our attachments matters little in comparison to just wanting to be correct, to be in control, to feel as though we know what's best and we're succeeding by virtue of living out that which we just knew would happen. Nobody in the history of the world looks back on their life and says, "Yes, this is exactly what I thought would happen." But many, many people look around one day and say, "Yeah, I knew this is what I was meant for, but the details always surprised me." Things will work out better than you could have chosen or designed them. In your unknowingness, however, it will seem as though everything's been shot to shit. In the moments before you realize something better than you can fathom is coming to fruition, it will seem like every plan you made and hope you had has been completely disregarded by whatever higher power you do or don't believe in. Have faith that you'll get more than you think you deserve. You have to become the kind of person who deserves the life you want. Nobody ever got what they wanted by wanting it badly enough. Your life will unfold in direct proportion to how much you believe you deserve, not how much you think you should have. How much you believe you deserve. 61. Things we expect of others, but rarely consider changing ourselves. 1. We expect other people to be honest and open with their intentions, especially romantically. But how many people are we keeping on the back burner? How many people do we leave lingering and wondering and waiting just because it's more convenient for us? 2. We get angry at people who aren't unconditionally kind. We try to teach children to be kind by punishing them when they're not. We demand that other people are open-minded and loving, often in very closed-minded and unloving ways. 3. We expect that if somebody is interested in us, they should have to make the first move. Nobody wants to be sitting around waiting for someone to ask them out or sweep them off their feet, but nobody wants to do the asking or sweeping either. When's the last time you leaped out of your comfort zone to tell somebody you care about them? When's the last time you definitively asked somebody on a date, not just to hang out? When's the last time you did what you want others to do for you? 4. We don't understand when people aren't compelled by the causes we feel most strongly about, but we complain the second somebody else's passions inconvenience us in the form of too many ALS bucket challenge videos on our Facebook feed or annoying political opinions that we don't want to have to see or hear about each day. 5. We expect people to trust us right off the bat, but the reasons we don't trust others are always justifiable. 6. When someone isn't there for us unconditionally or doesn't know that we need them without us having to say so, we find it rude and selfish. But how often do we go out of our way to try to psychoanalyze and predict the actions and desires and intentions of the people in our lives? 7. We call people small-minded for making judgments about parts of our lives that they don't know the whole of, but how often do we do that to strangers and coworkers and friends as a matter of daily conversation? We know that if people really knew us, really knew our whole story, they'd understand. And yet we run around judging others for things that we don't understand, stories we don't know the entirety of. 8. A common source of frustration is when people don't take care of their relationship issues in a way that seems obvious to us. Leave if the person isn't perfect. Get over the things you can't change. But how often is that the case in our lives? We don't allow others to be messy, but we expect them to lend a comforting shoulder when we're in pieces. 9. In theory, we expect people to be accepting of all religions. Yet if someone doesn't understand our dogma or belief system or religious background, we consider them just not at the level to understand it. We can claim that every path is valid, but many people don't realize they believe theirs is just a little more effective. 10. We think people who judge others over petty things are terrible, but we're judging them, for judging. 11. We expect people to not make jokes at our expense, despite the fact that often the cheapest shots at humor is in tearing other people down. And at the end of the day, we're quick to go for the lazy and mean jibe that gets a laugh when we need to feel a little lifted. 12. We expect that people value themselves and stop disparaging themselves, but we also expect them to lift us up when we do it ourselves, or we even think our constant self-deprecation is endearing. 13. We expect people to change overnight, whether it's eating better and taking control of their health, getting out of a toxic relationship or job, whatever it is. When other people self-sabotage, we think a pep talk will do the trick. That's rarely the case. We need only to look at our own detrimental habits to see that. 14. We roll our eyes and shoot dirty looks at people who don't behave the way we think is considerate and appropriate, who are too loud in public, who are late or messy or in some way unkempt. Yet when we're tired and stressed and behind schedule, we don't care if we loudly take a work call while online for coffee, or hold up a waitress or cashier to accommodate a random need. It's fine when we're loudly laughing and talking over brunch because we're excited, but it's annoying when someone else does the same thing. It's only not a nuisance if we're doing it. 15. We expect complete honesty from others, and yet when that honesty is something we don't want to hear, it's mean, and when it's our turn to tell the truth, we avoid doing so until there's no other choice. 16. We expect unconditional love from the people who are closest to us, as if that will be enough to make up for the fact that we do not love ourselves. 62. You don't have to love yourself perfectly in order to be worthy of someone else's love. When people say that you need to love yourself before you can love someone else, what they mean is that if you are subconsciously seeking a relationship to fix your life, give you direction, or make you feel better, you will perpetually choose the wrong person, and you'll never really have the kind of relationship you want. Unfortunately, what gets communicated is that you have to wait until you love yourself and every aspect of your life before you can be worthy of finding and committing to the right person. What it sounds like is if you don't have love, it's your own damn fault. It's because you aren't good enough yet, because you haven't mastered enough, because you haven't done enough to earn it. What it sounds like is that you shouldn't accept love until you think you're ready for it, and that we are only meant to evolve autonomously, and once we're in a relationship, we can stop. But you are not going to be ready for the love of your life when they show up. Nobody is. And if you deny yourself that relationship because you think you need to do more work beforehand, what you're really doing is missing out on the most effective growing tool there is. Love is a grand magnifier. It shows you what you love and what you dislike about yourself and your life. The right relationship will encourage you to address that fully and work on it. The right relationship will help you learn to love yourself. It is meant to change everything, and it always does. So learn to thrive in the meantime. Use the days you have on your own to be your own person, and do what you can only do on your own time and by yourself. But never confuse that for the idea that you cannot be loved before you are completely loving, that other people are only obligated to be as kind as you are to yourself, that you'll be ready for love when it comes. Yes, the way you treat yourself will dictate and determine how other people treat you, but the work of being a whole, evolved, complete, loved, and loving human being is not how well you can thrive in isolation and solitude. It's how you can stand up for yourself, demand respect, choose love, and learn to keep moving and evolving, even when the person you've always been looking for is finally standing right beside you. Loving yourself is letting yourself be loved, too. 63. 30 questions you need to ask yourself if you still haven't found the relationship you want. 1. Do you think of relationships as something you earn for being good enough, or something you develop?